The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. Danny's vacation in Scotland continues. It's August 5th, 2025. You are listening to The Fan. Toby Altizer in for Danny today with me, and we'll take you up to 6:15 and the pregame ahead of Nationals baseball. Got a nice show planned for you. John Orand, who covers sports business. I want to ask him about the merger of NFL Media and ESPN and whether or not they're going to do their best over at ESPN to ruin Red Zone with Pat McAfee or Stephen A. Smith or some variation therein. And also Robert Mays of the Athletics Football Show is doing a camp tour. He's in Pittsburgh with the Steelers today. We will talk to Robert Mays coming up at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Toby, how's your Tuesday?
Can't complain, man. It is nice weather outside. Going to watch some baseball tonight. Notice I didn't say good baseball, but I am going to watch some baseball tonight.
Yeah, I will be at Nats Park as well. I've got postgame Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we will be punching that time card over at Nationals Park over the next 3 days. 6:45 first pitch for the Nats tonight. They are looking to get right, to say the least, after an ugly sweep at the hands of the Brewers. Mackenzie Gore is on the mound this evening. That'll be intriguing because he's trying to find his footing post-All-Star break. He has not been the same guy as he was as one of the better pitchers in the National League in the first half of the season. So, good storyline there. You just heard Earl mentioned her in the update. Cade Cavalli is getting called up to the major leagues to start tomorrow. This is 3 years in the making for a former really high-end prospect and first-round pick. So over the next couple days, there's going to be a couple of reasons to tune in, which might be fewer and farther between than we want.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. Gore, the last couple of starts since the All-Star break, his ERA in three starts is 10.66. So hopefully he can improve on that. But Cavalli is a good storyline. He made his debut, had a ton of injuries. Now he looks like he's going to get back out on the mound for the Major League club. So it's been a long time coming. Really good guy. He's been someone we talked to down at spring training last couple of years, and he's kind of been chomping at the bit to get back out there. But just for whatever reason, whether it's an injury, whether it's struggles, whatever it may be, he just hasn't been able to get back up here. Finally going to be back on the mound tomorrow. It's going to be nice to see.
I don't know what kind of actor you are, Toby, but if you're in the market to play Alex Ovechkin, there could be a movie coming your way. I saw this today. The Capitals superstar has partnered with a Russian technology company to produce a movie series or documentary about his National Hockey League career. Now, I've got to imagine this turns into just an awesome documentary on one of these streaming services, the next great Netflix doc or something, where somebody makes a really good Ovechkin documentary about his career and passing Wayne Gretzky on the all-time goals list. He's sitting at 897, next stop 900 this fall for Ovi. But I guess there's also the possibility of a feature-length film hitting the big screen. Could Toki Altizer be playing Alex Ovechkin on the big screen?
I'd have to work on my skating.
Are you an ice skater?
I'd have to work on my slap shot.
We need to grow out that hair a little bit and give you one of those like Russian guy haircuts.
I don't intend to knock out any of my teeth anytime soon, but yeah, if you can come up with a bunch of other things, I'd have to grow about a foot. I'd have to slim down a little bit, get in a little better shape.
It depends. Is it off-season Alex Ovechkin or is it mid-season form now, Alex Ovechkin?
What I can do, like Ovi, is I can drink Coke on the sideline, on the bench.
Straight out of the water bottle.
I can do that. I can do that.
I want a Alex Ovechkin feature-length film. I will accept the documentary, and I will like it, but I'd love a movie. I don't know who they get to play him. I don't know how that works, but sports movies, not enough of them lately. You know, I talked to Danny about this about a month ago. When I was a young boy, when I was a young warthog, the amount of good baseball movies that came out
so
in
many.
Short order with like Little Big League and Sandlot and Angels in the Outfield and Rookie of the Year, one after another over a 2-year span. Kids today got nothing.
Yeah.
There's no sports movies coming out for these kids. Let's give them a movie to like. Let's give him an Alex Ovechkin biopic.
Yeah, I mean, getting to grow up watching Remember the Titans and stuff like that. When's the last time we even had a movie like that? Feels like we haven't had any. My favorite, by the way, all time is Glory Road. Absolutely love that movie. It never gets talked about.
Wow, that's a sneaky film.
Such a good movie.
So here's my Glory Road story. I was on the Metro in D.C. as a high schooler, and a guy with a bag of DVDs and other random stuff came up to me, and he's like, "You want to buy a movie?" And I was like, "Yeah, for sure I want to buy a movie. This is awesome." And this is a true story, unzips his book bag, and he takes out like a bunch of movies that were still in theater. And I'm like, "This is amazing. How does he have these films already?" And one of them was Glory Road, and I had wanted to see it. But at that time, like, I don't even know if I have my driver's license. It's not like today where I want to go watch Fantastic Four. I'm just going to go watch Fantastic Four. Yeah. You need a parent to take care of whatever. So me and my brother were like on the Metro, and I'm like, "Definitely I want Glory Road." He's like, "All right, $10. So I give him a $10 bill. I get Glory Road. I go home. I pop it in my DVD player. This is the time of DVD players. And the first couple minutes, I'm like, "This is the real movie. I was thinking it's going to be some shady operation." Sure enough, like 3 minutes into the movie, this guy just stands up right in front of whoever's recording it. It's someone literally sitting in a movie theater recording the big screen. And this dude is just like standing up, like motioning to someone, and the entire movie you just hear people talking and standing up. It was the worst cut, edit, whatever you're gonna call it. $10, found out the hard way. You can't pirate DVDs illegally on the Metro.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
But the movie is good when you actually watch it, not with people standing in front of the screen.
I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Oh, you gotta watch it. It's
Glory
so good.
Road. Yeah, I've heard good things. I probably did at some point. I don't remember it. All right, before we get into the Commanders and the A topic today with the football operation, you don't know what's on tonight, boys and girls. You don't know what debuts this evening. The world will be right again. Hard Knocks on HBO is back and perhaps better than ever. The Buffalo Bills take center stage tonight. Of course, the Washington Commanders will be part of the in-season Hard Knocks that's going to cover the NFC East, ultra-competitive with the Eagles, Cowboys, and you know, an interesting enough Giants team with quarterback controversy. But the Bills tonight on Hard Knocks, we get to see MVP Josh Allen. We get to see former embattled coach. Wasn't that long ago that Sean McDermott was coaching for his job. For a guy with a great win percentage, he seems to always be on a warming seat.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Bills finally break through? That'll be the theme, I'm sure, of Hard Knocks, which kicks off tonight. Football season is here.
I can't wait to watch Josh Allen. I feel like we've missed having that sort of close access with Josh Allen, and he's such a likable guy. Have you seen some of the videos of him at camp?
Oh, he's the best.
Signing autographs,
yes.
And then there was like a girl crying when he was about to walk away, and he's like, "I can't." He runs back and starts signing autographs again, and just the respect that he has for the fans and the love he has. Such a good dude. I'm excited to learn a little more about Josh Allen.
Here's what I want out of Hard Knocks and Josh Allen. I need him at home with his new wife, Haley Steinfeld. I'd like Haley Steinfeld, who's an exceptional actress.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big fan of her. She's a wonderful actress. The 28-year-old actress who does a great job at acting.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, Haley Steinfeld, at home, living life, doing skits and bits. I would like to see the Us Weekly subscriber back in the day, the celebrity gossip guy in me. I want to see their lifestyle. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see their house. I want to see them decorating for somebody's birthday that's coming up, this friend they've got coming over, whatever wacky activity they have them doing. I want to see them renting out the back room of a steakhouse so they can go have dinner. That's what I'm looking forward to. Give me some Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen behind the scenes.
Have you watched her in any movies?
Many.
I have not, but I know the one thing that I know her for is when I was coaching Powder Puff Flag football when I was still in college, me and a buddy would drive over to a gym that we were doing because we were in Wisconsin. So when we were trying to practice football in like February, you can't do anything outside. So we're going over to a gym and whatever. We'd always listen to Starving by Haley Steinfeld and blare it.
I have no file on any of her music. Starving, I'll have to look up on Spotify. But yeah, she was really good in Sinners. She's a great actress. You should check her out. All right, let's get into the Commanders. Out of training camp the last few days, the optimism is real. The hope around this team is authentic. Fans are excited in a way that they have not been in a long, long time. And it's understandable. Even in the past, when fans have been giddy going into a season, it's generally coming off of something that was not sustainable. So I think about their previous playoff pushes all the way back to, you know, when they won five in a row in 05 to get in, four in a row in 07 to get in. They had to win seven straight in 2012. Mm-hmm. And those ensuing seasons in 06, in 08, in 2013, there was this thought within the fan base that they've solved the riddle. They were good at the end of last year. That carries over. And that momentum is irrelevant and means nothing. But now you've got the great quarterback. Now it looks like you've got a really good offense. And that buoys your floor immensely. There's really no reason to assume, if they can stay pretty healthy, that this is not going to be a good football team. Just as a floor. Just a week in, week out, competitive team against the best that beats the bad teams, ideally like a New York Giants week one home opponent. Those are the games where you're going to be favored now by 5, 6, 7 points, depending on when in the season those games are played. You got to find a way to win those. And then you steal enough of the 50-50 games with the playoff caliber clubs, and you should win 10, 11 games. That's the hope, for sure, when you have an MVP caliber quarterback, if that's what Jaden Daniels turns into in year two. But I wonder what the bar should be set at for us and for fans going into this season. Like, as I was talking to someone yesterday out and about, just down along the, you know, where the fans watch the practice from, like, how good do you think this team can be? And I said, I think they're probably going to win 10 or so games. I think they'll make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me when I said that, and this fan was dejected. They're like, oh, you don't think they're going to be that good? And I'm like, what? He's like, you're down on them? 10 wins and a playoff berth as a wild card is down on them? And it really did just kind of get me to thinking about what I want to discuss with you now, which is, what's success look like for this team? Because I do think there are a lot of people out there coming off of an NFC championship game that feel like they need to win playoff games again for this not to feel like a step backwards. I don't know that that's fair, because I actually think that they can make progress, that they can get better, that as a more talented team, they can have a better season and still not go as far. My logic in this, Toby, is if you started last year's postseason as soon as it ended again and they had to run it back, and now you're going to Tampa, a game that they won on a doink that bounced in. Now you're going to Detroit, a game the Lions thought they were going to win, and thank God they stopped running the ball and you hung 45 mm-hmm. on them. I mean, it was an impressive display offensively. Daniels was unbelievable. But then the NFC Championship game where you got run out the gym by the Eagles, obviously. I think if you start that postseason again, there's no guarantee that they win those two games. I mean, it was really, really hard, especially the Tampa game, which was close, but the Detroit game could have gone very differently. That's a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter. So I think they could be better and still not win playoff games. It feels to me like, I could be wrong, but that the pulse from the fan base is anything less than the playoffs is a huge letdown, and not winning a playoff game would be a significant step backwards, and I'm not sure that that's fair.
Yeah, I think it's playoffs or bust, no question about that, especially if you stay healthy, if you get Terry back into camp soon. I think it is playoffs or bust. But I want to lay out a scenario here for you, Grant, because I think this is a very real thing that could happen, and those last four games being all in the division could make or break the season. So the final four games, at New York, against Philly at home, home against Dallas on Christmas, and then final game of the year at Philadelphia. Imagine going into those final couple of weeks at 8-5. You could make or break your season right there. If you go 1-3, you probably miss the playoffs. If you go 3-1 or 4-0, you could win the division. If you go 2-2, you probably make it as a wild card. I think that's what's so intriguing about how this schedule plays out. And so I do think it is playoffs or bust, right? It's something where you have to get in to build off of what you did last year. And it's funny that you mentioned a fan felt like you saying they're going to win 10 games is a bit of a step back and disappointment. It's not, in my opinion, because I think they're going to be a better football team this year, but maybe not 12-5. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
The 12 wins last year was indicative of many things, including that they were really good offensively and that their quarterback played at an unbelievable level. But there was also plenty of luck involved in that. We've covered that. We've talked about it. People take that as a slight. It's certainly not meant to be. It's just an observation. Also, the schedule was softer this past season than it will be this year. So think of it no different than, you know, if you hit a ball just as far, but you're playing in a different ballpark, sometimes it might land in the seats. Sometimes it's coming down on the warning track. If they're the exact same team against a harder schedule this year, it's actually going to be growth because you're playing better, stiffer competition, and you're able to essentially not take a step backward. Adam Peters is on record, started training camp with the press conference, said, "We are a better team. Feels like they are significantly on paper, upgraded from a year ago." And I think they probably are. I think he's mostly right about that. But the idea of playoffs or bust is interesting because, you know, at 10 wins, you are on the threshold there of the playoffs. It's possible that you win 10 games and via tiebreaker, you don't get in. If they're 10-7, Toby, in a division where the Eagles are probably going to win more than 10 games, and they don't get in, there's no way for you to feel like that was a successful season when you say playoffs or bust.
I mean, I'll feel okay, but the ultimate goal is you got to build off what you did last year. And last year, you're in the NFC title game. And so if that means you have to win 11 games, you have to win 11 games. Like, you have to get into the playoffs to build off of last year.
So there's nothing they can do, essentially, if they're not a playoff team, for you to feel like this year was a win.
Not really. I mean, seeing Jaden grow, and like, if they win 10 games and they just miss out, it'll be like, oh, bummer. You know, you'll look back and be like, if they'd have won this one game or this one play went there, or so-and-so makes a kick in another game, like, yeah, I'll do all that stuff and I won't feel as bad if they win 10 games, they don't make it in. But if they don't make it in, it's a disappointment, plain and simple. They were in the NFC title game. A couple of things go your way. I know they got blown out in that NFC title game, but Jaden didn't play bad. They turned the ball over a billion times. If they don't do that, they're right there. They're knocking on the door.
So I agree with the idea that they've got to make the playoffs to feel like this is a really successful season, but the logic you just used is what bothers me, which is they were in the NFC Championship game last year, and it was kind of a fluky, magical carpet ride, which is not to say that they were not a very solid football team, but teams go on runs constantly. That is not a foundation that you then necessarily can build the house on. I think the foundation is Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the way I'm going to define this season is, number one, not even about making the playoffs or not. It is about, does Daniels prove that last year was legit? And what I mean by that is, at the end of this coming season, if he's healthy and he's durable, which were two of the big knocks coming out, and he takes another step forward, and he has now entrenched himself in the top five conversation behind the big four at quarterback, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar. And then of the best of the rest, Jaden Daniels is squarely in that dialogue for being the number five quarterback in the league. Then almost nothing else that happens from a big picture, 10,000 view standpoint can bother me, because they're going to have a chance every single year now because they've got that guy. And I think that's probably where we're headed with Jaden Daniels. I'm in the minority in that I need to see it one more time. I need to see a second year. I'm not ready to throw the party just yet. I'll throw it every day you want to after this football season if he can repeat something similar to last year. But I guess secondarily, when we get into success and wins and losses and those things, I think it's going to take double-digit wins for me to feel like last year was a season that is the start of something sustainable. If they win 9 games, miss out, Jaden's up and down, however they get there, it's going to feel like, okay, they are better than they've been in a long time around here. But they're also not Super Bowl caliber. Right now, you look at the NFC odds, it's like Philadelphia, Detroit, and then them.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Super Bowl team odds, it's 5 or 6 teams. They're right on the outside of that cusp. And I think that that's reasonable after last season. But just the notion, what people will bring up, what you just said is, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. You have to get back close to that. As if to say, like, you know, I can do something once that is not normally what I'm able to do. It just doesn't mean that now that should be my standard.
But I look at Houston, and this was the team that had a lot of parallels drawn to Washington last year. Number 2 overall pick at quarterback, takes them on a magical ride, goes into the playoffs, wins a playoff game. And they were disappointing last year, right, Grant? Like, we agree that they were disappointing?
Totally.
They won a playoff game. They were back in the playoffs and won a playoff game. Like, you have to be able to build off of it. Because then, to your point, if you don't make the playoffs this year, say you only win 9 games and you miss the playoffs. Well, then you're looking back like, well, was it just all luck? Was this team actually any good? If you're able to make the playoffs and get back in, you're building something. I want this to be going somewhere. I'm not even necessarily worried about, I would love for them to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think any of us are thinking that they don't have a shot, but I don't think that they're the favorites, right? But if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, that's fine. But if you make the playoffs, you're building somewhere. You're going somewhere. You're getting more experience for the young guys. And I think, too, you have to be building this because something we talked about yesterday is the age of this team. What are the chances that Bobby Wagner is back next year? What are the chances that Zach Ertz is back next year? I need experience for Ben Sinnott as the season goes on and hopefully into the playoffs. I need more experience for all these young guys. And so you're building and building and building. So to me, if you only win 9 games, if you win 10 games, miss out on the playoffs, then you came up short because you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That's part of the issue, I think, with the way that they're doing it, which I have no problem with, and I would probably do something similar if I'm Adam Peters. But it does feel like a year-to-year operation. No, it isn't like they are building something with a several-year window. Now, here's the difference. Jaden Daniels gives you the window.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the roster is kind of being built 1 year at a time, where you're old and you're bringing in this guy like Von Miller this time around who can help you in 2025. And if it goes well, maybe you give one more year to him. But you go year to year and you're kind of renting, you're not buying. Jaden Daniels is the guy that keeps the window open. But that's where the pressure's on him to make sure that he can keep building and sustain as he plays better teams and they have more tape on him, that he can be that guy again. On the Texans, I would just say they were worse offensively last year, statistically, substantially. They were worse last year defensively in terms of scoring. I think they got a little better in terms of yards after a big offseason with a lot of talent added. But the only reason they made the playoffs is they were in a poop division. I mean, the AFC South stinks. And if you remember, they actually had to win a week 18 game against the Colts, who were playing Gardner Minshew and a bunch of Jag quarterbacks all year. Like, that was not a particularly good team. They easily could have been 9-8. I think the Colts even dropped a pass in the red zone at the end of that game that could have beat the Texans. They did ultimately make the playoffs. And did they beat the Chargers with Herbert throwing a million picks? Who did they beat in the playoffs?
I can't remember, but they beat somebody.
I think it was that Chargers game where Herbert had all the interceptions, is who they beat. And then they went to the Chiefs and got fairly handily. But the point is, when I think about last year's Texans, even though the record was the same year over year, even though they got back to the playoffs and won a playoff game, they did get worse. They fired coordinators after the season. Yeah. Like, it was fairly ugly. But I also think, at the same time, even though it's a bad division, so that's why they're the favorite, like, the level of play for the Texans last year now makes you think, with C.J. Stroud, they're annually going to compete out of the South. That's now the bar is a 10-ish type win team. They're trying to do better than that. 20 wins the last 2 years and a playoff win. And I think Washington's trying to cement itself in that conversation this year. But the question for you guys is, what is success for you this season? And is this a playoffs or disappointment campaign already for Washington after the magical run last year? This convo born from just a random discussion I had with a fan at practice yesterday, where they said, you know, what do you think this team is? I said, I think they probably win 10 games and make the playoffs. And I was shocked with how disappointed they were. They acted like I said they were going to go 5-12.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, that was basically the response, was like, wow, you don't think they're good at all. I'm like, bro, they've won 10 games 4 times in my life. Now, clearly last year was one of those times. Mm-hmm. And they won 12. It's a 2-game regression in that way. But the schedule does get much tougher. We'll hit the phones on this next, 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny. Also, want to play a little quarterback game with you, start, sit, or bench with some of the youngsters coming into their own around the NFL. We'll do that as we continue on The Fan.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From 2 U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
With Toby, I'm Grant. This is Grant and Danny on The Fan. Danny is in Scotland. All of our camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. The Commanders are headed to New England, as you mentioned. They've got joint practices with the Patriots tomorrow, and then some type of walkthrough they'll do on Thursday. They have a game on Friday night, so we will watch Commanders football on television for the first time.
Finally.
Since January. You know, I guess the end of the postseason this week. So football is officially back. But I'm a sucker for, and I'm a little bit bummed that I won't be at the joint practices. They're normally really entertaining. The one drawback in the league the last few years as everybody's ramped up these joint practices is the melees and the brawls, which seem to just be inevitable. And I've made the case, I still go hard in the paint on this, I think the league has to just do something to prevent the fighting. They have to make it more apparent that it's not okay by actually being willing to fine guys substantially, which is normally not something they do for practices. I wouldn't even mind if something particularly egregious happened to levy a suspension at the start of the year. I mean, you're not going to do that because guys are swinging on each other just in the middle of the field. But if something particularly crazy happened, generally practices are off limits to the league in terms of sanctioning. It's just more of a team deal that you fine your own guys. But when multiple teams are getting together and we're kind of creating a game-like scenario, this is no longer a general practice, right? And you see this, it's almost clockwork. Like putting on pads and walking out to the field, there's going to be these fights between the teams. It just happens. Otherwise, though, this is exactly what teams should be doing. Take the risk of injury in a brawl aside, because that's the big issue. Like when baseball brawls happen and they don't even fight really, but occasionally if guys are going to the ground, you're getting tumbled on, your shoulder, your fingers get jammed, people are landing on you. Guys get hurt in those once a year, I would say, in Major League Baseball. It's even worse than football. It's bigger bodies and more people and more violence and anger and you know, aggression. And so it's just a bad look. But if you take that out of the equation, the amount of work you put in and get out of this is awesome. I still remember talking to back when it first started, the Shanahans about this and Mike specifically. His point was, we can go through a preseason game and never get to do the three or four things I really need to
exactly.
see. Exactly. We might not get to run goal line. We might not get to run red zone. If I'm having a kicking competition, I may not get a field goal attempt. But in a practice, I get on the phone with Mike Vrabel before we go to New England, and everything I want to get done with my team, I tell him, and then we design a practice around that. And so this is actually way more helpful than the game that's going to be played, oddly enough, on Friday night for the starters. Now, the game itself might be more telling for the young guys and for some of the dudes you're not sure if they're going to make the team or not. But for a lot of players, and especially some veterans that'll be on the field, the work they get in practice is going to help way more than anything they could get on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, essentially these joint practices are for the ones, right? This is where they can get in really good work. This is where they can rep with guys. They can face other people that they haven't faced in camp. But then with as much as you can, controlling the environment where you get your scenarios, like you mentioned, hopefully you avoid the brawls, but you know you can protect your quarterback. They're still going to have on the non-contact jersey. So I can have Jaden Daniels getting in good work against the number one defense of the Patriots without worrying about someone landing on his leg or tackling him and breaking his collarbone or something of that nature, and I can feel a lot better about that. So you can get in that work that you need. The preseason games, and I'm really wondering if we start seeing it go more this way, especially when they go to that 18-game season, is do these preseason games turn more into, okay, we'll get maybe our ones a drive or two. And it sounds like Cincinnati's going to play their guys a lot when they come here to D.C., which will be a lot of fun for the fans over at Northwest Stadium. But does it become more that the actual preseason games are more so for figuring out which guys I'm going to cut, which guys I'm going to keep, which it already kind of is that way.
That's where we are.
But does it get more and more like that where these joint practices are the real things, where the real work gets done? And then those are sort of, all right, what are the final five guys on my roster going to look like?
Yeah, the joint practices to me are the preparation for the regular season that have replaced preseason games. That's how you get into football shape, basically. Especially to your point with the veterans, because you can dictate a little bit more. And I don't want to say there's less risk of injury, but there's more controlled.
I mean, there's less risk, plain and simple.
For quarterbacks, certainly. I mean, if you're going live and taking guys to the ground, whether it's a practice 11-on-11 or a game, it's not that different. But yeah, you just control more and that's safer.
Yeah,
right.
100%.
I think, though, the value in the games is still awesome for guys at certain positions like running back, where I need to see tackle breaking ability, body lean for someone like Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. These practices and the game coming up are huge for a rookie like Trey Amos. You know, he has been practicing against Washington's offense. He now knows all their plays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing they're running essentially that he hasn't seen. there's more and more install that goes along, but he's got access to the playbook if he wants to look at it before a practice to help himself out. The tendencies of the team's receivers. I mean, how many times can I go up against Luke McCaffrey before I know all the tricks he's got in his bag, right? But now it's different receivers with different tendencies and different playbook and different. It's just a better test. So this is going to be invaluable. It'll be a great week. Cannot wait for Friday night. We'll have a lot of different ways to preview the game as we get closer and closer. Right now, though, we're asking you about how you're going to determine success for the Commanders this football season. We've kind of come to the conclusion that if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be hard to sell this year as anything other than a step backwards. Now, I can still be perfectly fine with the direction of the program as long as Jaden Daniels plays 16, 17 games and plays at a top 10 level again. Because at that point, back-to-back excellent seasons from a young quarterback closing in on a second contract, and you've found your Eleanor. The thing that you could never do, you've done, which is you got your quarterback. And with Daniels, you're not going to be bad. You can only just be okay and barely miss the playoffs. That's kind of the floor. The ceiling is hardware and Lombardi trophies. So I'll sleep easy at night, as long as Daniels has a good season, really regardless of outcome. But anything short of getting to the playoffs is going to feel like a disappointment. Let me ask you this, Tobes, before we hit the phones, and you can call us now at 800-636-1067. You're playoff or bust, like I am. Mm-hmm. I think if they make the playoffs and don't win a playoff game, I will still feel perfectly fine. Like, I will still view that as a George W. Because you got there, because you won double-digit games, because you had the tougher schedule and you didn't take a step back. And yes, last year you won two playoff games and got to the NFC Championship game, and this time you will have been one and done. But on a binary, I'm still calling that a gigantic victory. By the way, something they have not done in years. They have not gone to the playoffs in consecutive years since they were winning Super Bowls. So for me, that works. What about you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. As long as you get into the playoffs.
There.
Yeah, you just have to get there, because once you get in there, that's the beauty of the NFL. It's a one-game playoff. Anything can happen. The ball bounces your way. The ball doesn't bounce your way. You make a play, the other guy doesn't make a play. Vice versa. So, like you mentioned with the Tampa game, ball goes one way, Tampa wins. Ball went Washington's way, they won. So, yeah, absolutely. Just get in, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Kevin's in Arlington, wants to hop in on the listener lines. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Hey, just wanted to make sure, if I need to apologize for my call yesterday, I wasn't saying you guys don't have a right to question Adam Peters. I just was simply trying to say.
No, we didn't take it that way. You don't have to apologize for anything, brother.
Yeah, you're good.
You're good, man. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Because nobody's infallible. So anyway, about the floor, this is what I think. I think if we win 9 games and don't make the playoffs, it's still okay. That's the floor. If we win fewer than 9 games, if we have a losing record, to me, if it can be pointed out that, yeah, because we had an injury bug among the oldest players on the team, which is the oldest roster in the league, I think we can point to that's really not Peters and his team's fault so much as the cupboard was bare. Okay? So I have a lot of nuance in how I look at measuring success for this coming season. But, I like yours, Grant. 10 wins, get in the playoffs. Hey, take it from there. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be in that boat where if they make the playoffs, it's going to be hard to be upset. Because that just hasn't been what this team is. They'll have found a new level of competitiveness and a new caliber of decency, basically, if they are now a perennial playoff contender. Which I think is what we all are expecting now, by the way. Like, that is why this would be a disappointment. It feels as though that you've unearthed this thing at quarterback that everyone looks for, which is the cheap star. And while you have him, before you pay him, and you're able to go out and keep paying Wagner or bring back Ertz or go get Von Miller and do some of this other stuff they want to do on a year-to-year basis, there's no real reason why you can't stack some pennies and keep winning football games. You know, we're not saying they got to win 14. It's not the Eagles right now. If they're doing this convo in Philly, they just won a Super Bowl. They've been in a couple Super Bowls and NFC Championship games recently. If they're not playing in an NFC Championship game, it's a letdown. Washington's not there yet, but I think the bar has been raised to, you got to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that's why you want to see them get in, is now you're kind of building that foundation. Whereas, you know, if they were to go out there and suck this year and win 6-7 games, and be like, well, how the heck is this different from 2012? right?
Right.
And that's what you don't want to have happen here.
To that point, by the way, if they make the playoffs this year, whether they win a playoff game or not, I don't care, whatever. Next year then becomes a, you better make some noise in January.
Correct.
Like, heavy lies the crown. I mean, the expectations keep growing. Now Daniels is into year three. Now we know he's a top five-ish quarterback.
Yep.
Now Adam Peters is 3 years into the program, and so is Dan Quinn. Like, now you get to a point where I think you really start pushing the gas pedal. Right now, all I'm asking for is some sustained version
exactly
of the surprise last year. I think it's, I say this to Danny all the time, it's a lot easier to accidentally stub your toe into a bestseller than to write a second one. And I'm asking you to now write a second bestseller. You got to the top of the mountain. A lot of things happen along the way. Now I'm asking you to get back there again. And if they can do that, it feels like you could do it whenever you want to.
Yeah, you're not sneaking up on anybody this year. They know. When you show up, they know what they're getting.
He's Toby, in for Danny. I'm Grant. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the Fan.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard Knocks debut tonight, the Buffalo Bills being featured one step closer to in-season Hard Knocks following the NFC East. Cowboys, Commanders, Giants, Eagles, and by the time we get there, that's normally post-Thanksgiving, I think, like November into the holidays, essentially. It won't be much of a storyline, ideally, that Micah Parsons or Terry McLaurin were not a part of training camp, so the cameras are not rolling right now. That would have been incredible, though, if they were doing the division in training camp and we had the behind-the-scenes access to executives talking with agents and the conversations Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are having. I mean, that's what I've longed for years and years and years, is just the fly-on-the-wall access. But we'll get it in season. We'll get to see cameras rolling as Dan Quinn's addressing the team ahead of huge games, especially that stretch run. The NFL, not dumb, knowing the NFC East was going to be on Hard Knocks with the four consecutive weeks down the stretch where they're all playing each other over and over and over again. Would you rather training camp with the Commanders or in-season mode?
Training camp, you usually get a little more behind the scenes, but in-season is just different because you know the results. You're looking forward to it because of that. That's part of why I love watching quarterback, was I was just waiting for when Washington beat Detroit, and that would made it so fun. But I think in-season is better. I think I enjoy that one more.
Yeah, my wife sat down to watch with me one night last week, and she's like, does this go through the end of their season? I said, yeah. She goes, so there's going to be the Commanders playoff game? I said, yeah. She's like, can we go to that episode? So we just skipped right ahead to the final episode, and then I had to go back and watch it. Let's go to the phones, though. People want to hop in on this idea that the Commanders need to make the playoffs for you to feel good about the season. Eric's in Fairfax on the Fan. Hey, Eric, you're on Grant and Danny.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, yeah, love your show. So when I was 13, my parents moved from New Jersey to Arlington. So since 1966, I've been a Washington fan. And last season, after the preseason, I predicted 9-7 in playoffs when most people weren't even predicting over 500. And the reason was I saw so much potential with Jaden Daniels in the preseason. Well, anyway, for this season, of course, we have to make the playoffs, but what I've told a few people, I want us to run the NFC East. And, you know, I think we have a good shot. I mean, we beat Philadelphia once in the regular season. If it weren't for the turnovers in the playoff game against Philadelphia, we could have won that, and we were running up a lot of yards, but we turned it over.
The only pushback on that, it's a good phone call, thank you. Washington did beat Philly in the regular season, but it was a Kenny Pickett-led Eagles team. The Eagles were up 7-0 and marching into the red area. Basically, it was like a 14-0 game based on the Hurts drives. Eagles over the Commanders. And the Commanders would go on to win that game. Pickett was mostly okay, but he didn't make a few of the winning time plays that you would expect Hurts, now a Super Bowl champion who's been exceptional in multiple Super Bowls, to make. And so I kind of grade that one in pencil or with a bit of a curve a little bit to say they did beat the Eagles. That's true. They came back from a massive deficit and they did it with the starting quarterback on the bench. But I actually point to the game in Philly where for three quarters, the Commanders gave the Eagles all they could handle. Philly ran away with that game, literally, figuratively. Saquon Barkley went nuts in the fourth quarter. And then the playoff game speaks for itself. I know we could say if they didn't fumble four times, if they didn't turn the ball over. But a lot of times when you're playing a superior team and you're trying to do a little more than you're capable of, the turnovers tend to happen. So I can't quite explain it away like that. There was a significant gap between the Eagles and the Commanders last year. I think most people that are nonpartisan see that. The question is, have they closed that gap at all with the Eagles losing some defensive pieces this offseason? Let's go to Blake in Wilmington, listening on the Odyssey app. It's always free and available wherever you are. What's up, Blake?
Hey, going into the season, I think, you got to look at it and say 10 wins is the floor. Anything less than 10 wins would be a disappointment. I think anything less than the playoffs would be a disappointment. And that means firmly in the playoffs. That doesn't mean sneaking in 9-8 or even possibly 8-9. I'm talking about firmly in the playoffs. And then, you got to look at your record in the division. I think that's going to be really, really important because everybody says, oh, the Giants are weaker, oh, the Cowboys are weaker. Then beat them. Then we got to go 4-0 against them. That would be successful. And then, obviously, it all depends on Jaden Daniels' health. If he stays healthy, no matter what, it's a successful season. Thank you, guys.
It's a good phone call. I think you're going to split with the Eagles. Ideally, that would be the case, right? You go 1-1 mm-hmm. with Philly. That means in the other four games in the East, you've got to go 3-1 to be where I want you to be. I want you to have a winning record in the division. So I don't care if you take both from the Giants, which should be easier, or from Dallas. I think that'll be more complicated. The Cowboys, just because Dak's back, are going to be a lot more difficult to deal with this year because they're going to be able to move the football. But I think if you can go 3-1 against the two teams that are not viewed as on your level, now you've got a path to 4-2 in the East that probably gets you where you need to be. But if they go 3-3 in the East, you bogeyed a hole. You got to find a birdie somewhere. You probably have to beat, a Minnesota on the road, a mm-hmm. Kansas City primetime on the road. One of those games that we're not chalking up right now, Green Bay, short week 2, to get to double-digit wins.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at last year, there were some easy games on the schedule, like Carolina, you look at Arizona, Cleveland, games like that. When you look at this year's schedule, you're looking through and you're like, okay, Vegas, maybe Miami, and then it's people in your division with, like, the Giants. Like, you've got to win week 1 against the Giants. That feels like you've got to take care of that. The Giants again in week 15. You face Dallas in week 7 on the road. Like, you need to take care of those. And like you said, if you're 3-1 in those and you split with Philly, you're good. 4-2. You feel good about that.
The Dolphins game being international as well is a bit of a pain. Mm-hmm. Because that theoretically could have been a game that felt like in the States, normal travel, handle your business kind of performance. And now when you start going to a different country and you're there for several days, it almost turns into an event and it's kind of like a toss-up. In a lot of ways, it levels the playing field. You'd almost rather that be against one of the great teams, like the Chiefs or whoever, the Lions or something.
Yeah, where if you lose it, it's not that big a deal. It was kind of a toss-up to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next on Grant and Danny, going to play a little quarterback game. The NFL is just a TV show about QBs. We want to zero in on them. We'll play start, sit, or bench with some of the guys who have a lot on the line going into the season. You're listening to The Fan.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.